101.3 FM, KRNG, Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding. Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Ray.
Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM. And we're here every Tuesday with a special guest. Today's guest is Mike Patterson, the pastor of Gift of Grace Lutheran Church. I got my little lisp going. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
This is an exciting time for in the Lutheran Church because of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which, can you give us a little history of that?
Sure. The history, for those of you who don't know, is this Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther was having a crisis of faith, which a lot of us do in middle age, and he went to Rome to get some inspiration and came back and started writing about all the things that he saw as wrong with what was going on in that time period in Germany. The poor were getting poorer, the rich were getting richer. The church, he felt, had been corrupted by some of these civil practices. And so he set out to make some changes in the established church. Never wanted to start a new church. That was not his idea. In fact, he really hated it when people started calling his congregations Lutherans. He felt, no, we're just reformers of the church. And of course, as a history buff, I know that all this led to wars and conflicts and people burning people. I mean, it was not a happy time because Martin ended up being excommunicated from the church, which meant he could be killed on sight. But the political climate of the time was such that the German princes wanted to stop paying taxes to Rome. And so they backed Martin Luther and said, well, we'll keep the tax money here. We'll protect him. In fact, one interesting story, he came back from the Diet of Worms, where he was condemned, and a band of soldiers kidnapped him, and his friends were all upset. Well, they took him to a castle where he wasn't imprisoned. He was actually being rescued, and they treated him like a prince, and he was allowed to continue his writing there and to basically hide from the other civil officials who wanted to kill him. But his work spread, and he wasn't the first reformer. Earlier reformers had tried to come up with some ideas, but it actually been burned at the stake, because you can't challenge the power structure without taking a risk. And the things he wrote resonated with people. But again, history. If there hadn't been the printing press, it probably wouldn't have happened the way it did, because everything he wrote immediately got printed and sent out all across Germany. And then he took it upon himself to translate the Bible into German. And people like you and me could actually read it and say, oh, is that what that means? So it was a huge change. And the good news was, in the long run, the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church and some of the other denominational churches have started talking. And starting in 1966, with Vatican II, the churches were more open to discuss with each other. Leading up to this book, it's called From Conflict to Communion, and it's the Lutheran Catholic Commendation of the Reformation, Commemoration of the Reformation. And it comes from a totally different point of view. Instead of talking about all the things that we differ on, it talks about the 32 things we agree on. And when you look at this and you see, wow, there's just not that much that we're in disagreement on, we come together. And that's a good thing.
Well, sometimes one disagreement outweighs 32 agreements.
Sometimes. Hopefully not this time.
Yeah.
One of the agreements that was reached back in 1999 was Luther's whole idea about salvation by grace alone. And it's called, the short term is justification by grace. And the Roman Catholics and the Lutheran theologians came up and looked at it and went, you know what, he's not wrong. There was a huge thing because the Latin churches used an ancient Latin text to keep updating scriptures. Martin Luther used Greek texts. Well, that line about justification by faith in the Greek text has the word alone at the end of the sentence, where the Latin text doesn't. And so they finally came to an agreement that one word shouldn't be an obstacle. You know, we are saved by grace alone. We don't have to go out and do good works and buy things, and you can't purchase your way into heaven. It's just because God loves us, and we get to go to heaven. And I know that's a little bit of Bible thumping maybe, but that is what it is. God just loves us. And Luther came to the conclusion, and a lot of people followed, in that you can't do anything more than that. You're expected to live a good Christian life, follow the path that Jesus set. But you can't build a new cathedral and expect that to be your path straight to heaven, any more than I can go volunteer at the food bank or something and expect to get a higher place in heaven. It doesn't work that way. So, and it's nice that we've come to that agreement with each other.
So, and this has always been fascinating to me. I've always been, interested in history, but I took a college course where we studied, you know, the history of the Reformation and that type of stuff. And it's amazing to think that this stuff kind of happened in 1517. But how did it go from Martin Luther, you know, having this crisis of faith and then to actually have, you know, Protestant churches popping up and organizing? How did that part come about?
Well, like I said, a lot of it was political. The German princes were under the control of the Roman Catholic Emperor, Charles, I can't remember the number, I think it was the third. And he wanted to extract more taxes, especially out of Germany, to pay for his battle against the Turks in Austria, because they were trying to invade Europe. And they were just like, we've given enough taxes, you don't need any more. And when Luther came along and started his writing, and especially because of the printing press, lots of people around Europe were reading these ideas and going, I get it. It makes sense to me. And so they started trying this themselves. And Luther, one of the books I read about him recently, talked about how they would come to him and say, well, how should we start our Reformation church? Should we do it exactly your way? And he basically said, no, do what works for your people. Because he felt like what was working in the area of Germany he was in might not be what the people of Denmark really wanted. And then the bigger picture is there were a group of bishops and cardinals from Scandinavia who had traveled to Rome, and they had heard about this preacher in Germany who had some strange ideas. Well, they stopped in Germany on their way back to Scandinavia, spoke with him, and he was very literate. I mean, he was a professor of theology, had his doctorate. And they went back to Scandinavia and said, we want to reform the church, and here's how we're going to do it. And they also broke away from the Mother Church and started they translated the scriptures into Swedish and Norwegian and the other languages up there. And people could go, this now has a personal meaning to me. And that was a big deal. I mean, if you and I were joking earlier, I got in this book, they have pages of it, and it's all in Danish, Swedish, and German. Well, if that's what the book, the only book you'd ever seen, and you had no idea what those words meant, it didn't have meaning to you. Well, now you could take the Bible, pick it up, and read it. And that was one of the other things that Martin Luther was famous for, is he insisted that children had to be taught how to read and write. And up until that time, education was only for the rich. Well, now it was going to everyday people, and they could see and hear what was going on and make up their own minds about things. It was a change in the world. And the world is still changing. The Sierra Pacific Synod, of which we're part of in the Lutheran Church, their motto this year is always reforming. And I think that says something about the church, at least this denomination, that we are changing. We're trying to be relevant in the world. For a liturgical church, sometimes that's tough, because we do have all of our ceremonies and our historical things that we do, and some people get turned off by that, and we know that. But it's also, we feel like it's important to follow those traditions. Tradition has a meaning to it, and so we try and follow
it. You mentioned 1966 being the beginning of this openness between the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church, but right. What was the impetus behind that?
It was John the 23rd, the Catholic Pope. He decided it was time to take a look at the world and how the Catholic Church related to it. And it was strictly a conclave of bishops from the Catholic Church, but he invited non-Catholics to come and view and give some input, and it created this new openness. That's when the Catholic Church changed their Mass from Latin to vernacular, whatever the country they were in. That was some resistance. Change is not always easy. But it was a start. It was that foothold in the door. And Pope Francis, I got to tell you, as a non-Catholic, I love him. He is such an inspiration and so open that this commemoration was finalized under him. And the thing I like about it is, the book actually includes the service that we're going to hold Friday night. And he has done this service in Sweden. And it's like the Catholic Pope coming to a Swedish church to participate in a joint service was a huge, huge deal. And that's continued. I think those dialogues are not done. You know, and maybe these couple of odd things that are obstacles, sometimes we can get past them.
Mm-hmm. And so has that openness and cooperation just grown since then? Is it?
Yeah, it really has. Last night we did this same service in Reno at Little Flower Catholic Church. And I have to tell you, it was really an awe-inspiring moment for me to be there celebrating this service with the Roman Catholic Bishop of Reno. And our Lutheran bishop couldn't come, but he sent up his assistant. And I looked out, and I mean, I saw Catholic priests that I've known for a long time and Lutheran pastors that I obviously know, and there were other denominations represented. And it was, I felt in awe. You know, it's like, what am I, this little guy from Sparks, being there? I don't deserve this. But it was like, this is the way it should be. We should all be together. So I get a little passionate about that. So I don't want to get preachy, but...
Yeah, so we'll get into the services that you have coming up here in Fernley. We're coming up on a break, so okay. So stick around and listen, and we'll have plenty of information about these services and celebration that'll be happening here in Fernley in the next couple of weeks. I'm Robert Perea, the publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and I'm visiting with Pastor Mike Patterson of Gift of Grace Lutheran Church. Just stick around, and we'll be right back.
Follow the conversation on our chat box at www.biggestlittleradio.com. 101.3 Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Gray.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM. I'm visiting with Mike Patterson, the pastor of Gift of Grace Lutheran Church here in Fernley, and they are in the midst of celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And yeah, there's a couple of special ceremonies. You have a service coming up Friday. First of all, tell us a little bit about that, how that service will be, and what it'll be like.
We're working together with St. Robert Bellarmine. Father Joseph and I have been working on this for quite a few months. And it's a joint service authorized by the Vatican and the Lutheran World Federation. So everybody's approved it. We didn't have to go get approval from anybody to do this. But it's talking about the 32 things that we agree with each other, a little bit of forgiveness. You know, there's a bad history over that 500 years. But mostly it's a celebration of our sameness. And that's going to be this Friday, October the 13th, which I never even thought about Friday the 13th when I set this up. But at 6 o'clock at our church, which for those of you who have been in Fernley a long time, is the old Catholic church. We lease from them, and we're holding services there. And Father Joseph...
That address is 290 Southwest.
Yes, it's on the corner of West and... Oh, boy, I can't remember. It's one block over.
It's just down past the wigwam.
Anybody. Yeah. And don't stop at the Methodist Church. Keep going because we're next door. But anyway, this is a nice celebration, and it's also going to be a fundraiser for the food bank. Father Joseph and I talked about this, and we wanted to do something good for the community out of this. And so we chose the food bank to get the offering from that night. And we felt that that was a good thing to do. So if you're going to come Friday night, we will take a cash offering if you want to do it that way, or bring a can of food. Everything, 100% of it goes to the food bank. There's no cost to anybody out of this. We don't have to deduct expenses or anything like that. And it should be an exciting night. We have some wonderful music planned. Our people and the Roman Catholic folk have been looking at some of this music, and we're ready to go. And all the music will be familiar to the Roman Catholics, because Father and I took our hymnal and the Catholic hymnal, and we found songs that are in both, and those are the songs that we chose. So everybody will know the songs, and it's just going to be a really good praise worship, I think. So I'm looking forward to that.
So that service again is 6 o'clock Friday night
at right.
Gift of Grace Lutheran Church. And then also the Reformation dinner is coming up.
That for us is a chance to do something again with the whole community. We're doing an international dinner on Saturday the 21st, runs from 5 to 8 p.m. And the main course, we've already got it, so I know it's what it is now, is going to be Norwegian-style baked salmon. And then we have all kinds of traditional food from Lutheran countries. We have bratwursts. We have things I can't even pronounce the names of, different dishes. There's one that from Finland. Now, don't get weird about this, but it's an onion pie. And when I first saw that, I went, I don't know. But It actually, I made one to sample it. It's actually really good. It's got onions and ham and all kinds of other things in it. But we're going to have the traditional lefse, the Norwegian bread. We will not have lutefisk. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Robert.
No.
Lutefisk is fish prepped in lye, and it stinks to high heaven. It's a very traditional Swedish food that I don't want within 100 miles of the building.
No, I think I'll pass on that one.
Yeah. I told them if they bring that, I won't be there that day. Although it's a very popular food, but we will not have that. But we do have lots of wonderful desserts. If you can't find something to eat, you're a little too picky. But it should be a fun night. $25 does include one drink, your choice. We're actually going to have alcohol, which, you know, Lutherans, we can do that. So, but you get one beer or one glass of wine or sodas. We have those available. And we also are going to have some raffle items to give away. There's a gym membership, and I can't tell you the details because I didn't get it. But we have all kinds of other raffle items that will be available too. So it should be a fun evening. I'm thinking maybe we'll even have some German music in the background. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Now, this dinner, again, is Saturday, October 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. Is this at the...
This is at next door at the Lutheran Center.
Okay.
And the actual address is 190 Southwest Main. Unless you're the power company or the water company, we're actually 201. I don't know how they did it, but we have two different addresses for the same building. So, but it's at 190. And like I said,
people need to make a reservation for this. Do they just show up on that night?
We would appreciate it. We will sell tickets at the door, okay. But we do have limited seating.
Okay. And so, where can people get tickets?
They can. You know what? I'm going to do something I never do. They can call me. My number is 775-848-2566, and I'll give you the information. You can send in the $25. I'll send you a ticket, or you can just buy the ticket at the door, which probably is easier in the long run. And then I dropped one ticket somewhere. I don't know where it went, but maybe you know something about that.
I have one right here. Anybody who would like to go. We have one ticket for the Reformation 500 dinner at Gift of Grace Lutheran Church at the Lutheran Center next door to the church. And this is from 5 to 8 p.m. on October 21st. If you would like this ticket, just call the station here at 404-1115. And the first person who calls and says, I want to go, will get this ticket. So thank you for the ticket.
Thank you, Robert, for having us. This is a huge time for the Lutheran Church and for the Roman Catholics, we hope. This coming together, as one priest told me, he says, well, it's about 500 years too late, but we'll take it. So, and that was a priest I was working with in Reno. So I think it's a big time in the life of the Christian community. And not just in our two churches, but throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself first. How long have you been with Gift of Grace?
I've been there 2 years, which is odd. This is my second time here because when I was doing my internship before I was ordained, my bishop I'm actually an Episcopal priest, which is kind of weird in itself. Have an Episcopal priest at a Lutheran church, but we're in full communion, so we go back and forth. But my bishop decided that it would be a good experience for me to do half my internship at a Lutheran church, so I got sent out here to work with the Lutheran pastor who was here at the time, and also took classes at the Lutheran seminary in Berkeley. So I really have a foot in both worlds. I even had Lutherans laying hands on me when I was ordained. So My wife says, "Well, you're actually both, aren't you?" And I go, "It doesn't really matter anymore, but we'll take it." So anyway, and my Episcopal bishop loaned me to the Lutheran Church, so that's where I'm at.
So what you mentioned being an Episcopal priest? What how does that tie in to between Episcopal and Lutheran?
It's so close, it's hard to tell the difference. When I first came here, I was used to doing the Mass from memory. And I learned very quickly, I had to read every word because there are just a couple of words different. And I had taken a vow that I would do everything Lutheran. And so it's now to the point where if I go visit an Episcopal church, I have to read every word because I slaps into the Lutheran tradition now. And it's because they are so close, it's indistinguishable. I love the openness of both denominations. You know, I don't like being in a narrow philosophical point of view. I'm fairly liberal. My friends all know that, including my clergy friends here in town. But I'm also very conservative in some ways. Theologically, I'm probably pretty conservative. I have that freedom within the denomination to be anywhere in that spectrum that's comfortable for me, and I'm not committing a sin, you know, and so I'm pretty open to interdenominational stuff, and I'm really proud of the churches here in Fernley. We have worked together. It's like this, we just did the peanut butter drive for the food bank, and there were a lot of churches that gave just a ton of peanut butter. I heard today who might have won our little interfaith contest, but I got to get it confirmed so I can't put it on. I know it wasn't us this year, which is good. I was glad somebody else won. But it's nice being able to be open and hear other people's point of view and not being forced to agree with it. It's, you know, that is something my denomination allows. And so I get excited about that.
We have about 30 seconds left. Okay. Could you give information again on the,
sure,
on the service Friday night and the dinner coming up next week?
The Interfaith Dinner is this Friday, the 13th at 6 o'clock over at Gift of Grace Lutheran Church, which is 290 West Main Street. And then on Saturday, the 21st, at 5 o'clock is our big international dinner, and that one is $25, and that's at 190 Southwest Street. So next door to each other, but 10 numbers off. Kind of weird. But anyway, everybody's welcome. I've put it out to all the clergy here in town, so we're hoping that we have a lot of different faiths involved in Friday night service. And I hope you'll be there as well, Robert.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on the show and talking this with us, and we'll definitely see you there Friday night.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and we'll see you next Tuesday.